in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Dan Cheer Show.
You know, I was reading something, Martin, and I wanted to share it with you.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2, and I'm reading from the King James Version here.
What?
Yes, I know you love it. That's why I'm doing it.
Oh.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, what does grace teach us? Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Notice, if you were to read this passage, some of these things, you know, sometimes we say something, we put something in a parenthesis. If we were to read this the way Paul intended it, we would read it this way. The grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that we should live looking for that blessed hope. Do you hear that? We are to live looking for that blessed hope. And well, what do we do in the meantime? Well, it teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldliness. We should live, so on and so forth. And he goes on, he gave himself for us so he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now I want to dwell a little bit on that, on the good work side. Because, you know, people accuse us, you know, of, you know, trying to ignore these things. But I want you to notice what the grace is the motivation for these things. You and I both believe and teach that good works can only be properly done by those who understand who they are and where they are in Christ. And only then can we go out and do good works freely with the right motives, with the right understanding. When we receive Christ, and this is, think about it like this, when we receive Christ, for those listening, think about this, when you receive Christ, you receive him and all his possessions. And we, as believers, we follow that example in a way that we, in love, give ourselves and our possessions to others. That's the Christian life. We receive Christ and we get all these things. And we, in turn, give of ourselves to others. Paul said that that one of the characteristics of somebody who is bringing grace into the details of life is one who considers others better than themselves. And there's a couple passages I thought we'd look at in Ephesians. I don't know if you have any comments on what I just said there, but
no.
Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, Paul says something, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained beforehand, that we should walk in them." And we see in one area, we have the salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of us. The Concordant Version reads, it's not out of you. Not out of you. Right? That's settled. And now that we're his creation, his new creatures, we are created into good works. You know, it's interesting. We're always talking about doing work for God, but we have to emphasize first, the only people who can do work for God are those who are the workmanship of God. That's
nice,
key.
Nice, yeah.
Well, you take the letter of Ephesians, and this is a great homework assignment for those listening. If you really want, as you say, positive teaching, sit down and read Ephesians 1 through 3, the doctrine, and then see Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 telling us what to do with that doctrine. Well, what are the good works? You know, people are always emphasizing, well, what do I do? Wait, how do I live? You know, it's a question people ask. I mean, you believe all these things, but what do we do? What do we do in our daily lives? You know, it's not that difficult. You know what the problem is with Americans?
What?
I know we have people listening where? And
all over the world.
All over the world. But this is an American problem. Everyone is looking for a utopia in life.
Yeah, right.
They're always looking in the future. They're looking to retire. They want to, you know, they think they're going to reach some utopia in this life, but they're not. You know what you have to do? Where are you at right now? Where are you? Are you a husband or a father or a wife, a daughter, a son? Whatever you are in whatever sphere of life you're in, that's your job. That's where good works are done. What do people think of when they think of good works? Putting money in an offering plate or going out in missionary fields. You know, that's a religious view and that's a poor view of it. What is a good work? I'll tell you what a good work. What's a good work for a wife? Here it is. You ready? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord.
Wear lingerie at night.
Wear lingerie at night. That's a good work.
Right.
What's a good work for a husband? Go out and preach the gospel and stand on the street. No. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. There's your good works. Nowhere in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 does Paul tell these Ephesians to go out and preach or teach or anything like this. You and I talked about this passage before. There was a situation where the Apostle Paul went into a town. He taught them. And as they were leaving town, it says the husbands, the wives, and all the children escorted Paul outside of town. They knelt down and prayed. Paul went on to his missionary work, and it says the rest of them all went home. To do what? To live life. We're to live looking for that blessed hope. Every day is a new day to honor God, to serve Him. See, what we believe about God, see, the great thing about God, He's the God of the details. He's a God of the details. The very hairs of our head are numbered. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. There's not a detail in life. There's nothing in life. There's nothing in this creation. There's not a movement among nations that doesn't have meaning. Everything has meaning in this life because God is working all things after the counsel of His own will. So just think about it. You as an individual are part of God's eternal purpose or His aeonian purpose. Every detail of our lives matters. They're important. They count. Going to work, doing your job, doing the mundane. Stop looking so far ahead. Stop looking to get out of your problems. Stop looking to try to find some lifestyle that only satisfies your soul. Remember that every detail of life is important and is full of meaning. Just think about our Lord Jesus. What did He do for 30 years?
Nobody knows. He was subject to his, well, when he
what
was
they
a
call
child,
him?
He was subject
to his carpenter's
son,
yeah. Right?
He was subject to his parents when he was a kid.
And, you know, we had the Christmas holiday last month. You know what I consider one of the most blasphemous things? Do you ever see the movie Ben-Hur?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
I like Ben-Hur generally. But you know what the worst part of that movie is? One day, there's a man who walks into Joseph's carpenter shop. And Joseph's working, and the man says, "Where's your son?" And Joseph said, "He's out in the hills walking, doing his father's business." Well, why is he neglecting his work? So they presented the Lord Jesus as this hippie who's walking around barefoot, roaming the countryside, just looking at the birdies.
Joseph should have said he's at 4th and Main hanging a door.
Yeah, that's what he should have said.
For the Smith.
That's what our Lord did for 30 years. 30 years of His life was devoted to putting nails in wood, sanding, hanging doors, hanging windows, measuring, and this was holy work. There is no distinction in the life of a believer between secular and sacred. Your whole life belongs to Him. We are in Christ, and if we're members of Christ, is there anything that's considered secular?
No.
From eating a Twinkie to making love to your wife.
Or eating a Twinkie while making love to your wife.
Well, that's a good one. But think about this. So the question is, what do? We should be zealous of good works. But Paul, and you and I think both agree on this, God has not called everyone to preach.
No.
I would say He's called less than 1% of the body of Christ
to
do that.
Way less.
Most of you out there, you say, what do? Here's what you do. You live looking for that blessed hope. Live looking for Christ. How do you live? He tells you how to live. It's no great secret. It's no great secret what a husband ought to do, what an employee ought to do. An employee is to work. A husband is to love. A father is to train his children. There is no secret to life. There is no utopian world this side of resurrection.
Oh, so you just put that guy on the mountain out of business.
Well,
yeah. Wise man, you know, on the
wise
mountain.
Man.
Everybody seeks the answer. Give me the answer to life.
Well, you see, and I don't know about you, Martin. I've had this question asked to me so many times because you and I proclaim this wonderful message of the gospel and God's ultimate purpose. People say, well, how's it practically work in my life? They're always asking that question. That's how it works. See, the problem is we're trying to get out of out of. This is not a message of escapism. The thing that makes this great is that we can enter into life and its duties knowing that these are sanctified things. They matter because God works out the details. I mean, think about it. And one day, God is putting the sun, moon, and stars in place in Genesis 1, and another day, he's dealing with blades of grass.
You know, I am in awe of people who work in the service fields, you know, the waitress or the waiter at the restaurant, the person that comes down the aisle, you know, and it's a humble job to really to be these guys on the airplane to come down and take your trash. I love those. I envy them a lot
of
times.
I would love to, yeah.
The service is so beautiful. It's such a great thing to serve other people. I mean, that is a real job, and there's I feel sometimes there's more reward to be had in the service industries. When people put themselves down, oh, I'm only a clerk, I'm
Which
only
is,
a waitress.
That
is
you're
ridiculous.
Not only anything. You,
no, that is ridiculous.
No, that is. And I hate these TV. I was watching a TV movie the other day where I forgot which one it was, but the idea was you don't want to grow up in this town. You want something better than this. You don't want to grow up working in the lumber yard or in the local whatever. You know, they dissed common labor and common life, which is a humanistic garbage heap.
Well, it's
philosophy.
One thing if you have a heart for getting out and doing something different.
Well, that's
fine. Nobody's saying don't pursue your dream, but so many people when they get out of that small town, they go away to, you know, the big city to make a name for themselves. They forget, you know, their roots. And I tell you that those humble roots, you know, the Waltons, that's good stuff. That's solid material, and it's not heralded by the world, but God sure recognizes it. God.
So wherever you're at today, whatever occupation you have in life, wherever you are, God works from you. He starts there. When God called Moses, what did he say? What is that in thine hand, Moses? He asked him, what's in your hand? So what's in your hand today? What do you have at your disposal? That is how you serve God. Husbands, do your role there. Fathers, do your role there. Wives, do your role there. Employers, do your role there. Employees. And remember that all these things are going to, we're going to be judged before God at the dais, the judgment seat of Christ, based on how we handled the daily affairs of life. So let's live looking for the blessed hope, because Christ is coming soon, and it doesn't matter how many millions you've led to Christ, how much preaching you did, is were you faithful in the details of life? That is what matters.
And contentment is great capital, Paul says. If you're content, then you have more riches than the guy making six figures. I'm Martin Zender. We're going to wind up this week, tomorrow. I'm glad you're here. You have a divine appointment with the truth.